This mini episode of The Rocketry Show is brought to you by SiriusRocketry.biz, featuring rockets that are more than just three fins and a nose cone. Find out more at SiriusRocketry.biz. SiriusRocketry.biz for the serious rocketeer. And by NorthCoastRocketry.com, makers of exciting kits that are just as great to build as they are to fly. Find them on the web at NorthCoastRocketry.com. NorthCoastRocketry.com, advanced rockets that are easy to build, fun to fly, and look great on display. And by eRockets.biz, your home for unique model rocket kits, as well as the world's largest selection of rocket parts from Semrock. Visit eRockets today to find out more. eRockets.biz. If rocketry scares you, buy a train set. And by the Insane Rocketry Android app. Find out how high your rocket went and how to find where it lands with the GPS tracking capabilities of an old spare Android phone. Find out how at InsaneRocketry.com and by searching in the Google Play Store for the Insane app. And by this month's patrons: Jason Cook, Les Rayburn, Bill Cook, John Beans, Eric Gonzalez, Tom Rum, Steven Spencer, Paul Olivieri, Joe S., Charlie Savoy, Gary Rosenfield, Michael Pitfield, E. Hundell, Sam Feinberg, C. McCauley, John Thompson, Digit, Steve S., Don J., T. Jockum, T. Vanderbeek, P. Calvin, R. Hoagie, R. Smith, J. Pullman, Michael Aylward, G. Smearden, M. Erisman, S. Shremko, J. Bryan, and johnrocket.com. You too can become a patron of The Rocketry Show by going to patreon.com/TheRocketryShow. That's patreon.com/TheRocketryShow.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running.
You're listening to The Rocketry Show.
All right, lift off and the clock has started. Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear.
If it makes fire, smoke, lots of noise, and flies into the heavens, then these guys are all about it. Here are CG, Jim, and the Rocket Noob.
Hello and welcome to a mini edition of the Rocketry Show with CG,
Jim,
and the Rocket Noob.
He exists.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay.
Hi, guys.
Hey, hey. How's Mini Noob doing?
Mini Noob is great. Little Noob is fantastic. He's just over 5 weeks old. Very healthy. Very pretty baby. And Mrs. Noob is healthy and happy as well. And he even sleeps quite a bit through the night. Not all the way, but for such a young baby, he's remarkably not terribly fussy. So,
perfect.
Yeah. So we're pretty happy with him.
You did awesome. Good.
Yeah, he's got a full head of blonde hair, just like his old man.
Hence, Mini Noob.
Absolutely.
The proud papa that you are.
Well, it's good to hear your voice.
Got to work on a design for him. All the kids in the family get a rocket named after him. So, got to come up with something for Little Noob there.
Little Noob.
Oh, make it fiberglass.
8 foot, no, 12 foot long
for the little one.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little Noob.
That's really cool. That's a neat tradition. I like it.
Yeah, I started about a couple years ago. I was doing this fundraiser for this theater that I used to do plays at, and it's the theater where I started doing rocketry, and I never was good at raising money. And, you know, you're supposed to just ask people to donate money in your name, and you give a little incentive, you know, like, oh, I'll make you a mixtape or what have you. Once I got into rocketry, I decided, hey, I could design and build model rockets for people. And suddenly I got real excited about it, and I raised several hundred dollars, whereas before I'd maybe raised 25, which is
that's
pathetic.
Awesome. That's some excitement.
Yeah, and so and Mrs. Noob actually made a donation, and she said, okay, I will donate, because I said, you donate $50 and I'll design and build a model rocket for you. And she said, okay, I'll donate $100. You got to do two rockets and they have to be named after my nephews. So I did that. Ah. And now that we have a little noob, I'm going to make one and name it after him. So
very cool.
I haven't decided what it's going to look like yet. Don't know if it's going to, it's probably going to be mid power and probably not a high power rocket. I don't know. Who knows?
Nice. It's a neat idea. Very cool.
It's an excuse to scratch build something new. So
absolutely. Well, win-win.
Fiberglass made only to fly on Sparkies. There you go.
Right. In the city.
You named two things that I really should not do.
Yeah,
an unbreakable rocket on a motor that I can't really fly at my local club. So.
I don't do fiberglass in my house just for the sake of my son. So, you know, I don't. There's things that you think about when you're a dad about that. So I got school for that.
You know, I learned the hard way not to even touch a fiberglass rocket without gloves when it's brand new, because I got that, you know, I got the got the Mad Cow Nike Itch. Apache.
Yes.
And I decided I wanted to sort of dry fit the parts together, and I was dry fitting the parts together just to see what it was like. I was like, it's kind of dusty. And then I was like, that itches. That really itches.
No. I got fiberglass
in my... I did not know that. I didn't know that, you know. So it only took about a week for the horrible sensation, burning sensation of my fingers to go away.
Oh, that's good. At least now you'll never do it again, right?
Yeah, exactly. I do have two parts kind of stuck together that I haven't quite figured out how to get apart.
Yes.
But, yeah, I'm going to have to...
Actually, you could take a screw. If it's a coupler, you could take a screwdriver and kind of just push ends on it, various parts to loosen it up, and it'll slide right up.
It's a coupler stuck inside of a transition, so it's kind of a
conical transition. Let me guess.
Yeah. If anybody has any tips, it's not epoxied in there yet, so it's not built, and it's supposed to have a centering ring going up inside that I didn't realize. So it's just
the instructions
of
that are great.
It's straight in there. It just happens to be in such a way that it just doesn't want to come back out. So, but it's okay. I've got time. I'm not ready to, you know, I thought about doing that, but the thing is, I'm not ready to build it yet. I'm nowhere near ready to build this rocket. And, so it's not like, I have to get this apart now so I can build it for next month, you know?
Right.
But it is sitting on my table, and I would like to not have to buy a new transition just to build the kit.
No. Yeah. We could get it. We'll get it apart. That's easy. But when you're ready, let us know.
And and the other thing I would like to mention that thanks to Jim, we got a nice fresh computer over the noob. So there he is, sounding better and clearer than ever over there. So that's a good thing.
Pretty awesome.
Thanks,
you know, I'm a PC guy, and this is a little MacBook, and it's working like a dream. So I've never used a Mac before, not since the early 90s.
The old days.
I used a Mac.
Oh yeah, the old days.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, there's not much difference these days. The hardware is the same. It's just, you know, I like, actually, it's kind of ironic because my favorite computer these days is my Surface running Windows 10. But, you know, for the sake of doing what we're doing with it, Macs are good for this stuff, and they just work, and you don't have to mess around with them so much, and just makes it easier. And especially with a little one, you got more important things to worry about than whether the right driver is running on the audio board or something.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
yeah, listen to some of the more recent episodes, and I'm just like, ugh, I sound so horrible.
Yeah, we had to do something about that.
yeah. And the worst part is I can't banter because there's too much of a lag. I can't get my zingers in there.
Now you can.
Yeah, now it sounds like you're right there now, finally. Are you joking around?
You mean? No.
There was dead air.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we were just talking about how snappy things are, then we have the dead air, and it's like...
Snappy.
I'm relaxing with... I've decided this evening is time to relax with a little beverage, and I was taking a sip of my beverage. So that's what I was doing.
Okay. You need to take a sip louder. There you go.
God.
Now we know what's going on.
Slurpy.
Good vintage.
That sounds like an excellent choice. So,
anyway,
we're recording this show here, lest we digress anymore, on May the 12th in the evening, which means TARC just ended over in the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. And we will be talking about that more in the upcoming show. But we did get some preliminary information out of the TARC gang and just kind of following their feed. So I can tell you that the top four schools in the national competition of TARC in 2018, fourth place, Minster, and third place, Russellville, and they're out of Alabama, that high school. Festus, cool. That's second place.
Festus again.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Very good.
And first, good. Yeah, first place, Creekview High School from Canton, Georgia. So
congratulations.
Nice. Congratulations,
guys. Yeah, congratulations, guys. I can tell you that's a tough competition. We my team ended up at around 200th or so, but we didn't get a chance to go to the finals. But look for us next year, guys. Especially you guys, Festus. We're coming for you.
So GM, now that this year's competition is over, can you tell us any of the secret sauce that you were hiding from us, like motor selection, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. For this particular TARC event, it required two eggs, so it needed a high thrust motor for the design that we had come up with. So we chose the a single use because the guys didn't want to go with reloads. They were a little nervous, and they were new teams. So I'm like, all right. They went with the F-42 Thunder. So nice. Good motor. Nice high, a lot of punch off the pad to get it mm-hmm. up there, and they were hitting their altitudes some. You know, just one thing was, it was interesting, is we did a pre-qualifying flight at on site at the launch down at Tripoli, Mid-Ohio, the guys down there, and we did a launch and it came out perfect, a zero score, literally 800 wow. feet on the nose and 42 second flight time, and they were all jazzed. I'm like, okay guys, turn it around, do it again. Mm-hmm. And the second time that they did it missed altitude and got a score of like 32. And I was like, and that was a qualifying flight. Oh, so, man, you know, that happens. And that's a common thing with, it's such an incredible competition. It's very precise and there's so much involved in the research and development, but at the end of the day, there's a little bit of luck too. And unfortunately it was not with us that day, but we also had a weight system in there for ballast. We were adding weights near the center of gravity pressure area, and that was a little interesting because we had to come up with a weight system that would keep the rocket balanced as well as give us the latitude to go for different altitudes when the finals came around. So we had one of my guys engineered a simple ballast system using some weights, and the most weight we had was 2 ounces, but you know, we went down and up from there depending upon the weather conditions. So we would take a quarter of an ounce out of weight out if it was a little bit colder, or we put some more weight in if it was warmer, depending upon all the data that we had. So incredible, like, data mining and going over flight records and all that stuff. It's just an amazing competition, and the guys really dug into it this year. They didn't quite do much with it last year, but this year they really did, and I'm really proud of them for getting as far as they have. Now they're ready to actually, you know, turn it around and do it again. So I can't wait until the rules come out, because we're going to start early again this year.
You know, the really cool thing about this competition is that it really shows you how those little bitty differences in weight can affect a rocket's performance. Like, you know, a lot of us, you know, we're just model builders and we don't really think mm-hmm. about it that much. Like, if you overpaint, it's going to affect the mm-hmm. flight, but you don't really think it's going to over affect the flight.
Correct.
But if you're trying to really hit that one altitude, then, you know, just, you know, 10, 20 grams is going to make a huge, huge difference. And, you know, there have been a few times where I've had some rockets that I thought should fly well. They weren't carrying a payload other than an altimeter, but they had some funny flights. And then when I weighed them and I checked a simulation, I thought, oh, wow. So I did it. I built built it. It was an Estes kit. It was what the heck is it called?
That kit.
The solar something. Or I don't remember. It's behind
solar
me.
Solar Explorer
I
or something, yeah. Yeah.
Solar something or other. It's been a while since I've even touched any of these things, which is another topic. But I had a bunch of them, so I built a booster for it, and I thought about building a 24 millimeter booster, like a D booster, and I was like, nah, I'll just, you know, make it 18 millimeters. Mm-hmm. So I staged it C to C, and C to B it flew great, and C to C when I put an altimeter in it. Not a heavy altimeter, just a little one. that little extra weight with the C motor and the altimeter, and I papered the fins, which has led me to do a little experiment that I'm going to be blogging about in the next few weeks. It just caused the liftoff to be so slow that the staging was bad. And you don't, a lot of times, you know, your models fly just fine. You never really realize that. But with TARC, you know, you have to pay attention to every little gram of weight because it's going to affect whether you're going to hit that altitude or
absolutely.
Not.
And then you add in variables like weather conditions, like temperature is a major thing to keep an eye on and all that stuff. And it's every variable affects every other variable. So you change one variable and you inevitably have to think about six others.
Then to be really well prepared, you have to have some idea of what you're going to do. If it's hotter or not as hot or more humid or less humid, what motor are you going to switch to? Because, you know, you might be able to change. Well, you had a ballast system in your rocket. Not everyone has that ballast system. So you may have to change the motors out for a different motor. So you kind of have to know what different motors are going to do for your rocket. And it's really like you learn so much just even if you just work on the one rocket. Just by the fact that you're trying to hit a specific, you're trying to do a specific mission.
Yeah.
That a lot of us don't really think about. You know, we launch it, it flies great. We think, all right, it flew great. Happy. Fantastic. We're happy. But it's like this is actual rocket science, you know?
It is. And to kind of round out the season with the guys, we took our original very first prototype that had been through about 20 launches, right? This thing had been through hell and it kept coming back for more. So we decided to give it a send off. We took all the weights out. We took everything, made it as light as possible, made sure there was nothing crazy on it, and stuck a Sparky G in it and sent it off into the sky as kind of a homage to our season this year. It went through the clouds and we never saw it come down, so I like to think it's still going.
Yikes.
It was flight. It was a beautiful flight. So I had to give the guys something a little bit because they were disappointed, as you know, of course they would be. So I gave them a little bit of a send off for that, and I think they'll be ready to turn it around and do it again next year, and this time, you know, get to the finals. So but congratulations to all those that did.
You guys ever have a rocket you can't seem to lose? Like, you're like, all right, I'm gonna fly this one first, and then you just never seem to lose it. Like, you know, your pretty ones.
I've seen people do that.
I've got a number of them that I've all of my Apogee Aspires, which I built with my Rocket Camp kids. So I kind of built them quick. They're not my pretty rockets, you know. Mm-hmm. I fly those ones first to sort of see what the wind is doing.
Yeah.
And I cannot lose them. I can't lose them. I've like, you know, I'm like, I got to thin out the herd a little bit so I got some shelf space. And those ones, like, even when last time I flew one, it landed in some very tall grass. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to find this. This is great. So I'm like walking straight out. I'm like, I got to at least try and recover it. I walked right to it.
It's
always the beaters that you never lose, you know.
There was one that that one of the guys in the club gave to me because it had my son's name on it, even though it was spelled differently, so it must have been from somewhere else. And I always launch that one first. You know, you always want to read the weather, right? It keeps coming back. It's got plastic fins. I didn't even build it. It's, you know, it's a little quest thing. I don't even know the name of it. It's just Plain Jane, and it's just got a name on it. Then we keep on flying it anyway, and it's still in Aiden's box of stuff, my son's box of stuff. So,
You know, I try, as people, listeners of the show might know, I spend a lot of time trying to make my rockets really pretty. And the problem is that sometimes I'm afraid to fly them. And then there are some guys in my club who don't care about making them look pretty at all. And they've got some really beat up, you know, gnarly looking rockets, but they fly a lot more, and then they always get them back. They always come back. Whereas my pretty ones, you know, sometimes when I fly them, they either don't come back or they come back, you know, with some pretty bad dings on them.
I like to make them look pretty, but not as pretty as yours, but I like them to look good on the pad. At least I have the 10-foot rule. As long as it looks good from 10 feet away, I'm happy. So, you know, you're much more detail into that. But and it's funny because the ones that I spend the most time on are the ones that are first to have a Kato. You know, it's just...
Yeah. I saw one rocket where this guy was flying it for like 14 years, and it was pretty beat up, and it tape holding part of the rocket together, and he flew it. Thing flew perfectly, came back. <It's> like,
really?
So yeah, my experience on that same topic, not personally, just observing.
That's why I was so scared to fly that North Coast Rocketry X-Wing that I've got. Mm-hmm. I mean, But I had to, because the gentleman that sold it to me said that he wanted to see it fly, and he gave me a good price on it, and a lot of people wanted it, but, you know, so I had to honor my commitment.
Yes.
And I was so nervous when that thing went up. It was a great flight, you know, real rear ejection worked out and everything, but I was there was a serious pucker factor on that one. So yeah. I may not fly it again. I don't know yet, or because it's just such a cool rocket, but, you know, that's the way life is.
I think these things are meant to be flown, you know, I mean, it's
I agree.
It's nice to have some shelf queens, but I kind of feel like I kind of want it to fly once.
Yep.
Just because it is, that's what it's for.
That's what it's for. And that's why you built
it. You know, yeah. like NAR competition, you have NAR competition for rockets that, I may be wrong about this, and maybe it may have changed with the demise of the Pink Book, but my understanding is you have NAR competition for you know, for craftsmanship, for like scale mm-hmm. modeling and that sort of thing, but they have to at least fly once in order right. to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you might fly it on an A or a B just to make sure you get it back and make sure it's, you know, it still looks mm-hmm. nice. But the point is, it's not just that it looks pretty, you have to fly it because that's what a rocket is for. And,
that's true.
You know, sometimes people will post a picture of a kit that they had that they come across or they find that is out of production, and they'll write online, you know, should I build this or should I just keep it in the wrapper? And I can understand that, like, sometimes it's nice to find something from the 60s that never was opened,
mm-hmm. right?
But I feel like it needs to be built and it needs to be flown, or at least needs to be built and then fly it on a really windless day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
If you get that Mega Dered Max, I mean, if it breaks your heart to build it and fly it, then give it to somebody or sell it to somebody or I don't know. It's just my opinion.
That's why I've got.
Do what you want. If you want to keep your Mega Dered Max in paper for until you're dead and you pass it on to your grandchildren and they don't do rocketry, then that's fine.
Such a waste.
But somebody should fly it at some point, I think.
Well, that's why I've got a Red Max sitting in a bag for just such an occasion, because I fly mine. I love flying that.
The only two rockets I've ever lost were the ones where I took the time and I tapered the fins beautifully.
Yeah.
So they're like razor sharp and they trail off, you know, and it's like, I don't know if it helped any with the way the rocket flew, but those
are that's why you lost them. They went
so
exactly. high.
Well, yeah, right? No, I lost them. They're both in the same tree field, the RETs. Yeah. And, but yeah, those are the only ones I ever lost were the ones that I was most proud of the fin, you know, sanding job on them. So go figure.
I'm happy though, because my Scion that what I turned into like a big Russian homage. That's a dual deploy. I had a Kato on a G motor. Now this thing flies on I-200s usually, but I did it at a small field on a G, and I had a Kato, so the bottom section burned out. I was so pissed. But you know what? That's why I have bags of parts. So I just finished the detailing on the bottom, and so she will fly again. I'm hoping there's a Glamour is the Great Lakes Regional Meet Revisited, which was the precursor actually for LDRS. It started there.
Yes, and I'm waiting for that one.
That's coming up, and hopefully on the 18th, she'll be hitting the skies again. So I'm pretty excited about that.
It's been delayed for weather reasons twice. I'm convinced the gods mm-hmm. are just waiting for me to be out of town for work, and then it'll be a perfect day.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's on the 18th, because I've got a couple of guys that are doing a dual staged composite motor launch, and so they really are chomping at the bit. It's a Quantum Leap 3000, which is a really nice rocket, very complex build.
Ooh.
They've got it ready. They've got the staging timers ready, and they're itching to fly it. So hopefully they'll take it to the skies.
That'll probably be the day the weather's perfect, because I'm sure I'll be all jet lagged.
True. Headed off to
a beautiful day.
To the continent.
Yes.
Just look and see if you see any of our rockets when you're on the airplane.
Okay. So anyway, there we are with our little quick show. There we had Jim and I wanted to do a quick show. And also, I wanted to mention, too, that a number of you have sent us messages on Patreon and in our mailbag system. You know, asking like, hey, when you guys do have a delay, just do a short show. We you know, anything. We just want to hear from you guys on a regular mm-hmm. basis. So I I've agreed with people a number of times, and it's like, you know, I should just do that now. Just make the little short shows that everybody's asking about when we're busy. But so this one here is a show, as you've probably gotten the hint, that I am moments away from heading out of the country for a little bit for work. So there's no time to really dig too deep in the topic. We almost had a topic come together at the 11th hour, but not quite. So it missed the goal. But it's going to be a cool show. We'll record when I get back. But we thought we'd check in with you, and it was good to as well, because we had the noob come out of the woodwork. So
absolutely,
we missed hearing from the noob, but we know he's been busy. We know you've been busy.
You know, I have been busy, but I think I'm hoping that I shouldn't miss too much more, as I have one of the advantages that I have is my job doesn't pay a lot, but it has some nice benefits, and so I'm actually on parental leave for a number of weeks. Mm. So hopefully nice. I mean, it's not like I have to get up early in the morning for work. I have to get up when the baby wakes up several yes. times. But I can always sleep in if I need to. So hopefully I'll just be able to just pop back into the swing of things here. For the most part, I won't be able to join you guys at National Sport Launch, which kind of breaks my heart. I knew that was, we've talked about it for months. I kind of knew that that was going to be the case. I haven't even been able to go to one of my own club launches yet. And Mrs. Noob seems to think that I should be able to go sometime soon, that we can all go. And I there's no bathroom facilities out there. So I'm like, yeah. I don't know if that's a good idea. Like, much as I would like, for us all to go, for reasons I won't go into, she has to kind of go with me, or else I've got to get a lift or something like that. But, I think it may be a little while before I get the chance to go launch. Ooh, I hear the little noob is making a little noise in the background there.
I heard
her. So unfortunately I can't go to the National Sport Launch, and I'm really sad about that. But maybe next year, I'll win the Powerball or something, and I'll have a van, and I'll go to National Sport Launch and TARC and all this other stuff, and maybe even like balls and NARAM and all that stuff.
Cool. Well, we had to pare it down quite a bit with the National Sport Launch going as long as it is and everything. It ended up being a big chunk of the change that we've managed to. They hit a number of locations last year for on the cheap and cover a lot, but NSL was a little pricey. So cleared out the Rocketry Show bank. But I have a feeling that some of our listeners are adding up in their heads that are aware of how these things go, what it costs to do a show, and they've been chiming in with ideas and suggestions to get more funding in for things. So that's kind of cool. So there's a number of cool
ideas. Say I listened to the most recent sorry to interrupt, but I did listen to the most recent episode with Lock Precision, and first of all, I'm really sad I had to miss that, because I really like Lock Precision. Mm-hmm. Those guys have great voices, and they should consider doing their own radio show. I'm just putting that out there. I noticed when you were listing off the patrons at the end of the show that we seem to have acquired a number of new patrons, and I just want to say thank you to the patrons on Patreon. Even if you just are able to give a few dollars a month, which is, price of a cup of coffee a month, basically, it really helps to sort of enable us to go cover events like National Sport Launch with CG and Jim. We're not making any money off of this podcast. This is part of the hobby for us.
Yeah.
I know some people probably think, oh, we're these famous Rocket podcast guys, but we don't, this isn't a job for us. This is just for fun. But there are costs associated with, producing a podcast, hosting and, getting new equipment and stuff like that, so we sound better. But of course we're always trying to cut costs where we can. But we really do appreciate it. So, if you're considering maybe giving a few bucks to the Rocketry Show on patreon.com/the Rocketry Show, that's the right link, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be much appreciated. And, will help us to hopefully expand our coverage.
Yes, that'd be kind of cool. And we do
always
have,
looking for that.
And you do hear all the vendors on the show who are sponsors of the show, but keep in mind they are basically essentially like another patron, but because they're business, we kind of give them a bit of a spotlight, if you will. So So it's not like it's like a full-time job or anything like that. So,
but we yeah, no, it's a labor of love.
It would be nice. It would be nice if we can get to that point. That would be cool.
Yeah. No, that's what's great about this. That's what's great about this hobby is, you know, I mean, it's almost like everybody knows everybody and people are supportive of these things, like, you know, events and this podcast and things like that. And, so I just think it's
here's the interesting thing is I'm going to the national sport launch, but I don't think I'm going to fly anything because I've got some work to do.
Yeah,
and that's okay. I'm happy about that. I'm happy to have the opportunity to get there, and because of patrons and everybody helping out a little bit, we're able to go and cover that stuff. So I'm dedicated to working, and it'd be nice to fly something, but there's some things that I need to do first. So if I don't get that done, I don't fly.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be one worthy to cover too. So it's going to be good.
Next year, though, I do want to try and go to something, and I want to try and fly. I don't want to just be there with the show. I want to actually fly something, even if it's something little. I don't care. I just want to participate. You know, maybe the three of us can finally. The three of us have never been in the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
So, that is correct. Daniel and I have never even physically met you.
No, that's true. That's true. And you guys have flown together, but I've never flown with either of you. And, you know, it'd be kind of nice to go to an event. And, you know, there are club members of mine who are going to National Sport Launch. They'll be flying. But it'd be kind of fun to, like, actually launch something together. So we talk about launching rockets all the time. We haven't done it together. So, you know.
Yeah. In fact, just to say, Noob and I met for the first time at NARCON last year. Yeah. In DC.
That was a good event.
Yeah.
I would say talking to James Berriman was worth the whole weekend for me. That was a thrill.
You're going to be flying high for a lifetime on that one.
I mean, that was very cool. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the whole process. And much as I was sad that I didn't have the space in my suitcase to buy all of the stuff that they had, because they had...
yes.
They were selling some crazy old out of production kits for like $9 and $12 that you can only get on eBay for like $85 minimum. And I'm sure I've seen some of those pop up on eBay since then. I'm like, if I could only have made space in my suitcase for that Black Brant or that Honest John Brute Maxi Brute rocket with the balsa nose cone. If only, you know.
Yes.
Because $12 for that is ridiculous. And they had stuff from they had Estes kits from the 80s that I'd never even heard of, and they were just weird and different and cool. Yep. And anyway, that's why I need to get a van.
So Scooby-Doo van.
Please become a patron of the Rocketry Show to buy the Noob a van.
And we'll call it the Mystery Wagon.
The Mystery Machine, yes.
Yeah, Mystery Machine, that's it. All kinds of psychedelic colors on it. All right.
Just need a diaper-changing station in there and some room for my rockets, and we'll go on a grand tour.
You probably already have the baby wipes. You good there?
We have a lot of baby wipes. A friend of mine sent us a box of just 1,000 baby wipes, and it was the best present ever.
They're great for cleaning motors as well as your son.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, once he's potty trained, we got to get that kid potty trained so I can clean lots of
Keep
motors.
Oh, man. And on that note, we're going to say...
keep your eyes in the skies.
And thanks for joining us on this little mini show, and... I am CG.
I am Gene.
And I'm the Noob.